Oh, hi, listening to 3CR and we're live in Brisbane. It's part of the G20 protests. We're having a rally for deaths in custody today.
Right at the Roma Forum, this is probably the main protest site in Melbourne. And Brisbane. And currently we're listening to one of the legends of the struggle here, Lionel Fogarty, addressing the crowd now. And we've got a whole number of speakers, including Lex Watton, who was involved with the Palm Island so-called riot over the death of Cameron Dumoogie. And also, I just heard Lionel mention Daniel Yock, which was brought a lot of grief to the Aboriginal community here back in 1992. So it's a big day for our mob here. It's not a bad sort of a crowd here.
And Sean Harris has also travelled over from WA with a crew of people. He'll be speaking today on the recent murder of his niece. So we've got, there's a big number of people, the biggest rally this week, I think. So tune in and listen to the speakers and keep listening.
The other thing is it's very hot here today, and we've got a little march through the city back to Musgrave Park. So stay tuned for ECR Community Radio. We're covering the G20 summit, and so stay tuned.
All right, we're going to head up to the speakers now. Uncle Sam Watson leading this rally today. Uncle Lionel Fogarty speaking right now.
The black people is like a debt in custody. What they're doing in Western Australia with the remote communities trying to destroy them is like debt in custody. Debt in custody has been happening before Danny Yock and after Danny Yock. So much has been happening. I mean, we've been struggling here so long to get some justice, and we're not getting no justice. So anyway, I'll cut my story real short, Sam, and I'll just say a couple of poems. The G20 here does not give us any justice and will never give us any justice. The only way that we can have justice is when we go out and protest. That's why we got corpus today who are sympathizing towards our cause because of our protest in the past. Save our inland seas, G20. Our coast been taken back. Rule host, death to the rainbow tracks, low coast. No more songs, sunshine our legends. Pathways are town roads around coast. Humming ancient mountains tried to find voices of man before aspects are promotes. We stood on mountains. Thrills are still there as beginnings are sacred circles. The coast inland has taken a lot. Born land cannot be man-made. The city catchments are education on isthmus to science and progress are shire-owned seas. Sites are extremely covered by entailing conflicts, dumping rubbish. Our coast cries crimes by the reefs, shell, sea, diving for valuable economy. Parks make up land. Women of 1,000 bodies still obtain a linked marriage permission. Save our inland seas. Wrapped ancestors leap forward, exposing burial burnt evidence for the future children to respect layers of family skins. Bloodline descents are in occupation to connection, but with possession of no haunted living, we exchange our coasts for recording boundaries as seas are skies. Incursion by builders seen are seas, coast as no say but by the bay witches. Okay, there's another one here I want to read. We own the sea, we own the east wrestlings. Where, brah? The G20 gives us solutions. She was wearing a G-string on her way to the G20 tea and rich party, where justice lives for those who write justice then runs into injustice. G20, your future makers executed our loves of planted people for fear of their classes. Jihad. Lord Almighty, ask the rich to kiss poor farmers forever, their bread, tea, mornings in the sunset, or for our East peace. Those going to the summit thinking answers are heard and seem to are pooling and fooling into the future. This all humans don't need blood money. Sufferers are the ones who have everything to have blood money. Pain reigns where profit gain on the ones who have done none. Nah. But sisters, parents, G20 bungled us hanging in front of ourselves. Better brother bend and drag the G20 back to where they come from. G20 bubs, our mum's money. Hey, we not anti-rich, just pissed off on paying fashion holidays. Hey, we not for the poor to stay poor and think they have a door. Treatment are their medication. G-G-hard. Just bloody hard so the G20 bribes go away from our past people's land. This is what my son wrote there, who sang the Gurindan Army there. Paid a rent. Coming round the corner, I saw a policeman questioning a young Murray boy about Ulm's land. Was Ulm's land. He said proudly, this is mine. And Captain Cook did not find. And that you being here is a trespassing crime. Said it's time to pay the rent. Our land was never lent. It's time to pay the rent. We need a black government. Now you've been here for 200 years. Forbidden our culture, made us live in fear. Yes, we need sovereignty. It's all coming clear. Tell me why haven't you paid the landlord a cent? We're in the struggle like the embassy of the tent. This isn't black supremacy, it's black intelligence. So it's time to pay the rent. Listen now, we're not stopping here, right? This is going to continue into the future, where we've got to stop debts and custody on our living today, right? We've got to do that today and into the future. We've got to unite all together. Maybe we should do real political action, right? But they are scared of us doing political action because we've been doing it over the years. Remember when Wayne Gosch was in power and we knocked down that Parliament House gates, right? And we've done a lot of bloody thingy against what happened to our brother up in Palm Island there too, right? We're deadly black people in Brisbane here, and we've got to unite and be stronger. Thank you.
Thanks, Brother Lionel, for opening this rally. We're going to have a young person come up here now to do a prayer and then a moment of silence. Brooke, where are you? Brooke. Here we go. Okay, so please, if we can have a moment of silence, and then Brooke will lead us in prayer.
I just want you to know that Brooke is one of our Aboriginal Christian leaders. She works alongside of me, and I'm grateful to God for someone like her, and she's got a real heart for justice, and she's now going to lead us in prayer. Thank you, Brooke.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we gather here today on this land, of which Aboriginal people have been stewards and custodians of, appointed by you to partake in that role. We pray for justice in this land and all the Aboriginal lands over this country that now is called Australia. We pray for justice over many issues today. We pray for justice about deaths in custody. We ask you, Lord, to help the authorities to bring an end to this large number of deaths in custody. We ask for your comfort, Lord, and your strength for the families, our families, all across this country who continue to grieve at this injustice and the number of our family that have died in custody. We ask for your strength and your comfort as we face tomorrow to continue our fight for justice. And we ask that Christians continue to gather with us and pray with us to bring your righteousness and your justice, because you are a God of justice. We pray all these things in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Our next speaker will be Karen Fusey and family. Sister Karen. We're going to have speakers here who have actually lost loved ones to the so-called deaths in custody, police murders, prison murders. And I just want to applaud their courage to be able to get up here and talk about these terrible, terrible things. Sister Karen.
Yeah, in 2007, oh, first, sorry, I'd like to give respect to the traditional owners of this land I stand. Because I'm a Kukulangi woman. I'm only passing through. I'm from north. 2007, my son was led out of Woodford Jail. Woodford Correctional Center, they refused him medical help. He was playing football on the field. And he was taken to the PA hospital. He rang me up. He said, Mum, I was in the PA hospital. What poor boy? They had to put a plate into my ankle. So there was like a lawyer going in there, visiting him, and they was taking him down because they had a duty of care. They let my son operate that prison cell for about a week and weeks with no medical attention. Right? Because he has a lawyer working with him. The inside world let the outside world know about this child. They said he was leaving on Friday out of jail. You know, you Brisbane mob know, when our children come out of jail, where they go? They go to Centrelink, and they go to the valley, and they look for their mob. They look for their brothers and sisters because they want to celebrate. That night, my son was in the mall, and he had a gun to his head. And he was taken to the valley watch house. And he was chucked through the window. 1 o'clock in the morning, the detectives knocked on my door. They said, you got a son named Gregory Hart? I said, yes. They said, we need to take you to the hospital, the Royal Brisbane Hospital. And I said, why? They said, we can't tell you till we get there. I didn't know what floor was. I didn't know what ICU was in my life till I got to. And the detective sitting beside me. And the doctor said, you need to sign this bond. Because your son is in there and his brain is bleeding. And he's gonna die if you don't sign this form. And I looked at my daughter and I cried. And I was confused because what did they do to my son? I stayed there all night because they rushed him into the operation theater. Uncle Sam come up. I looked on the media, on the television. The cops had their own media there. What was there in the bottom of that window was one shoe. There on the ground. I didn't tell anybody about what I saw. There was a sister from Cherbourg in that hospital. She walked up to me and she said, Sister, I want to say something to you. And I said, what? She said, you know what caught my eye? Is that shoe? That one shoe that police media planted on that cement. He didn't jump out of that window. How could this child handcuff behind his back like a little... like they used to do to our old people, put them in chains. And the old window, you're going to pull him up. Now can that boy figure it out in your own heads? How can that boy pull that window up and jump through that window? Huh? That was all swept under the carpet. We walked in there to Bob Atkinson's office. He rang me. He said, you want a car? I'll bring you here to the meeting. I said, I don't want your service. We went there. We walked around there with legal aid. He said, if I knew you was bringing your legal aid, I would have brought my legal aid. Huh. You know what happened out of this boy's death? If you want to have a look, because I speak the truth, you drive down there to the Valley Watch House, drive down there, and you'll see a brand new watch house, all air conditioned. That's what they got. And what I got, I haven't got a son. It was all swept under the carpet. Thank you.
Thanks, Ian. Thanks, Sister Karen, for sharing that with us. And thanks, Brother Lionel. As we said, we'd like to be supporting the families of people who have lost a loved one to a death in custody. So if family representatives could come down here, please, and we'll introduce them. And we've had the moment of silence, we've had the welcome to country, and pay our respects to Lionel Fogarty and the Fogarty Yock families, because it was on November 7th, 1993, that Daniel Yock perished in the custody of Queensland Police, and should never have happened. He was smashed into the pavement by two huge cobbers. He suffered medical distress very quickly, and then by the time they got to the Herschel Street watch house over here, he was already deceased. And again, as Lionel pointed out, despite a huge inquiry with a number of witnesses, those cops walked free. Yeah, we know those cops murdered young Daniel. Also, next Wednesday, on the 19th of November, we'll be pausing to observe the 10th anniversary of the death in custody of Cameron Mulrunyadumaji on Palm Island back in 2004. And again, this is a matter where there were high-level inquiries, three separate inquests. The evidence was overwhelming that Senior Sergeant Chris Hurley murdered Cameron Dumaji, a prisoner in his custody, bashed him to death there in the Palm Island Watch House. So it's a real privilege today to welcome to the microphone Brother Lex Watton, who led the community response to the police murder on Palm Island 2004. Brother Lex paid an enormous price himself for leading the community reaction. He actually spent time in jail on trumped up charges, and even when he's paroled, they silence him for a number of months. So, Brother Lex Watton, thank you.
Hello. Bear with me. Where do I start? Just like to pay my respects to traditional owners of this land that we stand on, and pay my respects to the families who have lost their loved ones to death in custody. As already been stated, I'm very overwhelmed and very thankful to be here today to partake in events in the next couple of days. So hopefully from this people will go away and mobilize and create something so that we can expose and possibly get back to some of the recommendations into the deaths and custody reports. But also, I'd also like to thank a lot of the people, especially here in Brisbane and across the country, for their support towards myself, my community and my family, and for what we had to put up with for the last 10 years come Wednesday. I don't regret what happened to myself and for what I've done. It would have been better if I didn't have to pay the price the way the Crown saw it, but beyond all of that, it made me stronger and it made me who I am today. But in the sense how I look at things through the gag order and stuff like that, this profile that was developed, it was created by the government, and anything I can do to be a part of change for the struggle for our rights, I'm always there. And I'll get in the front line. I'm not afraid of anything. I hope that through these things, with a lot of these young people that are coming through today, we need to educate them on their past and the struggles that have taken shape over the years, and also to remember that when we talk about deaths in custody, we're talking about the ones we know of. And throughout the 220-odd years of invasion, there are lots of reports or stories that haven't been told. And that's what we need to educate the young ones, and we need to radicalize them to get in and stand up for their rights. Not only that, but to educate themselves, to get into the areas of the justice system, wherever. So hopefully, from my message, you walk away and concentrate on your children. Invest in their future. I'd like to thank the organizers for organizing such an event, and as it was stated, next week will be the 10th anniversary, and if you haven't seen the documentary on the death in custody on Palm, then my suggestion is that you go and look at that. And when I actually heard about the death on that particular day, and the first word I said to my wife was, they're going to cover this up. And I was right then, right through until they had the inquest. And that story doesn't only relate to what happened then. It relates to what the sister just said about her son. They cover things up. They try to cover their tracks. But it's when people like yourselves get out on the street and protest and do what you can. And I was overwhelmed to see the support. And I've read a lot of various reports, seen a lot of media reports where people were on the streets, even when it came down to my sentence and stuff. Without people on the streets, you know, I could have spent a bit longer in the prison, but I did a lot of things also with my lawyers to make things happen the way they did. You know, there was, it was a battle anyway, and like I said, I'm just glad that I'm here today to help in any way. And what I've learned over the period of time, just my presence is enough. And look, thanks for your support, and God bless you all.
Okay, listeners, we just heard Lex Swatton, and before him was Arnie Caron with an incredibly moving story about her own son.
We've had a few deaths in custody.
Yeah, it's horrendous what's going on with our people.
Behind me, we've got a family from Western Australia who lost a loved one.
You know, I believe, I truly believe that any Aboriginal person who dies in this country prematurely, for whatever reason, for wherever they are, it's part of an ongoing war crime that's going on in this country. That's what we need to remember. Our people were healthy, robust people before invaders turned up here. It's very clear to me this is nothing but genocide going on in this country today. You only need to look at the statistical information around incarceration, our morbidity rates. It's not hard to understand, people. Australia's founded on crimes against humanity, secret invasion, undeclared war. You know, this is the issues that underpin the underlying causes of why we're dying at their hands of these fascists.
And it's about time we've had it.
This country needs to step up in terms of recognising our humanity. I'm talking about the wider community here. Otherwise, that makes them party to this crime. We're not going anywhere, our people. We're going to be here at the end of the day. You know, what they should have done was kill all the Aboriginal people. We're not going to be assimilating into something so demonic and evil. So, either kill us all or recognise our human rights, Australia. And I want to put the message out to these global 20 countries. You're participating in this crime. Whatever you get out of this country is the proceeds of a crime scene. So take that on board, people.
So this is why we are here today.
I'm really proud of all these strong-spirited people who turned up here, whether you're black or white. It's all about what's in your heart and what's in your head. It's not about colour. It's about economics and global domination by these fascist racists who basically destroyed the entire planet.
Right, we're going back to the speakers now. Arnie Rondo has been.
And we will never give up. The spirits of our ancestors walk with us. They have never broken our spirits. We will carry on until we achieve justice. And at the moment, it looks like it's a far, far away. But just one day, I hope that we will know it as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people of this sacred land. So remember why we're here today, to make our voices heard for all the people who were murdered and taken away from us. So thank you. I'd like you to meet my nephew. He's going to speak. Come on, Shawnee. It's a very emotional moment.
But please bear with me, this is only the second speech I've ever made publicly. I'm a Nunda Wadjuri Yamiji person from Midwest Western Australia. My niece was Jalika G, the one who died in South Island Police Watch House back on the 4th of August. And I'm also the one who put the call out for the nationwide death in custody protests all over Australia a couple of weeks or so ago. First of all, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional landowners for inviting me and the family over to speak and welcoming us on their land, and that we are standing on stolen land. Now I'd like to just say that there was a death in custody the night before my niece's protest in Perth, at Casuarina prison. A young fellow by the name of, his last name is Wallum, and his funeral is actually today. So it would be much appreciated if we could have a minute of silence for him and his family at this point, if that's possible. Thank you. And then I'll keep going on. Start by reading the speech that I read out in Geraldton for my niece on the protest day. It goes something like this. I'd like to start by saying that we remember the already lost to death in custody. Names such as Watton, Doomadgee, Ward, Pat, Murray, Edward Cameron. The list is almost seemingly endless. And now I would like to say a huge thank you to everyone for turning up today and for the help, support, and especially to all main event organisers for the rally, nationwide rallies and speakers, which is easily into the hundreds. From myself personally, and on behalf of all Jalika's close and extended families and friends, not just here in Western Australia, but Australia-wide, as it is truly overwhelming and very empowering, gives us the extra strength to keep up this long, hard fight for justice for Jalika, and very sadly, against black deaths in custody yet again. We had that nationwide stance because one death in custody is too much. Simple. My niece, this beautiful young 22-year-old Yamaji lady, did not deserve what had happened to her. Full stop. We need answers. We want accountability. We're here today on the rally day, the 23rd of October 2014, because we have had enough. And now we have a global stage to let the world know of the vile and continual mistreatment of us First Nations sovereign peoples on our very own sovereign soils. And not just for today, but also for the last 226 years since forced occupation. We have had enough and demand accountability and changes to prevent further needless and senseless deaths in custody via a list of 11 demands that were read out at every nationwide deaths in custody protest rally, which was in South Hedland, Geraldton, Perth, Adelaide, Sydney, Melbourne, Canberra and Brisbane. And they were all in support for Jalika and justice for Jalika, and sadly also against deaths in custody as a whole yet again. In unity and solidarity, please stand up, be idle no more, and help us fight the fight for Jalika, for our past loved ones, and more importantly, for tomorrow's generations. Thank you.
I'm just holding this up because the police are across the road. I want you to see the person that we lost, the one that we can't have back anymore because of your peers. Be responsible. Where's your integrity? Huh? And all youth media here, you got responsibilities to us too. Put the truth out there. What really happened? We right here, we can tell you.
Thank you for that.
Have a good look. 22.
Is that appropriate? It's all right. Hey,
you're listening to 3CR. You can also go online at 3cr.org.au and
Auntie Rhonda here is going to.
We're broadcasting live from Roma Street in Brisbane, listening to Dex and Custy. We just heard passionate speech by Sean Harris, who's been organising since his niece was murdered in custody. I want to add that this young woman was put in prison for non-violent crimes, mind you. So, I hope everyone's listening keenly and sharing this stuff around, because like the young woman said too, Medi's got a responsibility.
And yet when our people took one of their Gugungari sheep or bullock, they were arrested and put in jail. So I'd like to acknowledge our elders with this little song. And I'll sing it for you all today, because we're still being chucked in jail for nothing. Will banana walla wee walla ngala bagala. Will banana walla wee walla ngala bagala. Gokin chari chari nu guzanu ganjinu. Guzanu ganjinu. Will banana walla wee walla ngala bagala. Will banana walla wee walla ngala bagala. Gokin jari jari nu guzanu ganjinu. Guzanu ganjinu. Guzanu ganjinu. Guzanu ganjinu.
Yucky. Very powerful. Thank you for that. I'm going to call upon another speaker, Darren from New South Wales. He's going to come up and give a talk. Thank you.
I'm a Radri Gumamari Follum. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners, Yuggera, Turrbal people, for having us here on their land. I'd like to also mention a young Aboriginal warrior that passed away in Redfern, 2004, the same time as Palm Island, young TJ Hickey. Those of you that don't know TJ Hickey, well, after he died, we, down Redfern, all our mob, we did a big riot, and we went off too, because the way that it was handled. Those you don't know TJ Hickey was only a young boy, 17 years of age. The police were after a bag snatch. They were looking for someone who just did a bag snatch down in Redfern. And so they were really basically looking for any Aboriginal person. I know who did the bag snatch, and it wasn't TJ Hickey. It wasn't me either. But I know who did it. It wasn't TJ. Because in Aboriginal communities, you know who does the stuff and who doesn't do the stuff. And so the police followed TJ Hickey down to Waterloo. As they followed him down to Waterloo, he seen the coppers behind him, so he tried to get away. As TJ tried to get away, the coppers come up and smashed his bike from behind him. Hit the bike, he went flying and got impaled on a fence. The coppers freaked out. The police rang the ambulance and all that. At the time, there was a witness, an old lady, that witnessed the whole incident. The media don't know this, because they don't want to get this story out there about the lies that the coppers tell and force feed the mass population. So as TJ's lying dying on the fence, the coppers, the back wheel where they hit it, it disappeared. So it was no evidence to say that they hit the bike. The old lady that witnessed it, she gave a statement saying, yeah, the cops hit her. Anyway, the court went on and on. The old lady passed away. She died. But Aboriginal people down Redfern had enough. The big mob come down from all over country. And this is what we're saying to all you non-Indigenous people in Australia. You want to be thankful and lucky that Aboriginal people aren't like these stupid terrorists over there, cutting people's throats, blowing up buildings, because we have every right to do that to you scumbag white dogs, writing in the media, pointing your cameras at us. But we don't do it to you scums, because we don't want to go that way. We already had a 120-year war in Australia, and where to get us? Nowhere. 120 years of mass genocide in this country.
and still continue. My children, three children, were taken away by 24 coppers. Are you serious? 24 coppers. My brother committed suicide up in Harvey Bay. Yeah, up there, committed suicide because of the pressure from the police. Because they want to check him all the time, his warrants. So if they're not going to kill us in the jails, they'll kill us before we get to the jails. Okay, so our people are up against it from the time that we're born right till we're walking through the street here. And all we want is our people to say to you now, we're not going out blowing up buildings like the rest of the other terrorists. Even though we've been terrorists by the English settlers that terrorised us for 200 years. It's all right. Pack up and walk away, cameraman. That's good. Move along, boy. Because we're sick of your cap and you're sick of your lies that you force feed the media give to the population out there. Mate, young TJ, there's still no justice for my little cousin. Little TJ, where's the coppers that murdered him? Where's the coppers that murdered Daniel Yock? Where's the coppers that murdered Greg Yard? They get away with it. Because they see that our people, they're strong young warriors. So they want to kill us before they become men and adults in our community. They'd rather kill them there now, and that's the end of the story. They'd rather raise up our Jackies and our coconuts here and in our Aboriginal sellouts that sell us out to you white organisations and the white media. The Noel Pearsons, the Warren Mundines, they don't speak for none of us. We all speak for our individual self and our own people. So if you're going to talk to an individual tribe, go to that tribe. And I want to remember TJ Hickey here today. And I want you to remember TJ Hickey. The evidence vanished. The wheel went missing, and now the bike's gone. Hang on a minute. Who does that sort of stuff? Corrupt do that, the corrupt. So all I want to say, we're not here to change and blow up buildings. We're here to change your hearts and minds because the biggest battle is inside. Greed, envy, anger, lust. That's where the biggest battle is. And if we can change one little Aboriginal, non-Aboriginal person here to say we're all in this together, the media, the police are in it over there. Look at them. They're in it. They're slaves to the system. They own houses. The banks own their houses. And they're killing our young ones. And they don't care to get in the way of it because the system is feeding them and building up and the media, you're behind it just as much as the government. So, that's all I've got to say.
Okay, thank you for that, Dan. I'm going to call upon Jenny from New South Wales, Jenny Munro. One of the old warriors that ran from the old days in the 70s like all of us. We go back that far, we're still demonstrating with the way the police have carried on in their investigations. It's been happening for too long. It's 2014 and it's still happening. What happened to us in the past, in the 70s and 80s, is still going on. You know, the police are covering up, too much covering up all the time. They've got, to me, is they've got the rights. They wear the uniform, they wear the badge, they can do whatever they want to us. You know, it's still happening today. They pick up our young fellas, take them in for questioning, take them in there behind closed doors and bash them. Nothing we could do. So it's happening everywhere. It's still happening. They talk about the CMC. CMC is their own mates, investigating their own mates. So we as blackfellas back then, we had no time for the CMC. Because all it was is their brothers investigating their brothers. All cover up. We were the enemies. As black people from this country, we're the traditional owners. We're the First Nations people of this country. And we got 20 leaders over there today meeting. Did one of those leaders ever come here and ask for our permission to be on this land? Not one of them. Not one of them ever come here to the traditional owners and ask for our permission to come here. Not one of them. This is our land. It's always will and always will be Aboriginal land that was stolen and taken away from us. And we're here today still fighting for it. You know, it's about time it stopped. You know, we go back. We got bashed.
We went to jail. We went to jail. We got bashed, and we did it for the rights of our people. We didn't care. How do you think these organisations come about? All these people here. How do you think the legal service and medical centres started? Hey, all started from the blood from us that marched these streets in Brisbane. And we're here today and we're still marching. And we're not going to let the bloody police get away with murder, because that's what it is, murder. If we was to do what they did, where would I be? I'd be in the jail. That's right, hanging in the cell. And yet these fellas can wear that uniform and do whatever they want to do to us. And it's about time it stopped. And it's about time we, as black fellas from all over, we got to come together as one. Unity together in one. They cannot defeat us. We stand together as one. All of us together. And I'd like to thank our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters that were here with us right from the 70s, and it's 2014 and they're still here beside us. I'd like to thank all these non-Indigenous people for coming along and supporting us in our rallies from the 70s to 2014. I'd like to thank you all. Thank you.
I'd firstly like to pay my respects to the traditional owners, the people of Brisbane and the wider community of Queensland. I'm always humbled when I travel up here, especially to spend time at Musgrave Park. It's a special meeting place, and you can feel it all around the park when our people are there together, the strength and the power amongst us. We've had the problem with deaths in custody in this country of Aboriginal people being killed at the hands of authorities or at the hands of police for 226 years. It's not new. The same methods have been used time and time again to kill our people and to cover a murder. The system that was brought here, the police that investigate themselves, the parliament that has no imprimatur, no authority from our people, they conduct themselves. It is an illegal occupation of our country for 226 years. We have the current illegal regime under Tony Abbott doing more physical and mental and spiritual damage to our people in his term of government than they have done in the last 30 years. The advances that our people made in the 70s by going to the streets, by establishing community-based organisations, because mainstream organisations were too racist to even be able to deal with the issues of Aboriginal people that went to them. Those organisations that were created in the 70s have now become the puppets of the very system that we despise and hate. They act for their masters. They jump for their masters. The people that created those organisations, Aboriginal people like Coco up here, like all of the veterans of our campaign, Sam, those organisations have become a completely different being from what we created back in the 70s. They were made to service the needs of our people, because white Australia didn't care, didn't want to know about the problems that racism inflicted upon our people. They still don't want to know today. And that's the great crime in this country. Racism that was brought here in 1788 and still thrives and flourishes in every nook and cranny of our country today. Our people have suffered greatly at the hands of the invaders. We still suffer today at the hands of the invaders, and they do not even recognise that we have a system of law and governance and culture that is older than the oldest of their historical civilizations. I don't care how far they want to go back. Ancient Egypt, Mesopotamia, they're all babies, considering the tenure and the time and the peaceful nature of our peoples living here on our own land. Our people didn't fight over land. We knew exactly where our country was. We didn't have to fight over land. That was a new phenomenon that came with the white man. And that is associated again with racism and greed. Greed, by its very nature, is unsustainable. Once you hoard the first pot of gold, you look for the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth. You cannot maintain greed. Our culture, our people's way of life, greed is anathema to our culture. To us, for us to survive as peoples, you cannot be greedy. You have to share to survive. We learned that when the moon was only young, after she'd broken off from this planet. We are as old as time, we're as old as rain, we're as old as snow, we're as old as water. We're older than anything that the so-called Western or white civilization can bring to us. And they did not bring civilization here. They brought barbarity and depravity and murder. Our people's system, we call it payback. When your time comes, you're gonna pay big for the crimes you have done on our country, for the blood that you have shed from all of our peoples. The rivers, the land ran red with our people's blood, just defending our right to live in peace and freedom here. You have no right. Your illegal occupation is just that, a web of lies, a web of deceit. You need to meet your maker, and you need to meet him soon, because you will all be found wanting. You're not human. You're a depraved, disgusting example of how bad humanity can be to each other. You need to go away and learn how to be human beings before you come and tell us how to be human. We have fought a war. We still fight that war. That war will continue whatever the white greed covers your eyes with your own lies. We have no fear of the truth. We embrace the truth. It is part of our culture, part of our bloodline, part of our timeline here. You need to learn. Truth will set you free. We're already free because we have truth. The only thing that enslaves us are your lies. Time to grow up, white Australia. Time to recognize there is a price to pay for the depravity and the barbarity you brought to our country. When that time comes, don't look to us for sympathy, because you've used that all up. You have been...
From the 8th of November, people from around the world will be gathering in Brisbane to provide a counter to the Capitalist Talk Fest that is the G20. 3CR will be broadcasting live from the People's Convergence, the Visioning Another World Summit, the People's Rally in March, and the First Nations Decolonisation Before Profit Conference. We'll be bringing you live interviews with the people organising for a better world. Tune in every day between November 8th and 16th for the most complete coverage of these important events. 3CR, putting people before profit since 1976.
Acts of terror and policies of genocide. That's how it's premised. There's no proper legal foundation in this country. Australia's the only Commonwealth country that doesn't have a treaty with the original people. That means that we're in a state of undeclared war. And you can see it. You can see it in the statistical information in this country. Our morbidity rates, our incarceration rates, the conditions of life. In fact, if you have a look at the United Nations Convention for the prevention and the punishment for the crime of genocide, Australia is guilty as of everything defined in that act. This is an international convention law. It's not just a genocide convention they disrespect. The Race Discrimination Act. They suspend it when they deal with our people. They did it with the 10-point plan. The ATSIC, our supposed representative body. The Northern Territory Intervention. How can this country get away with this sort of shit? It's obviously, to me, the United Nations and Australia have been conspiring since 1949. This law was supposed to be a part of this country's law. They never legislated against the crime. So obviously they failed to prevent it. We need to take the names and numbers of every cop that touches our people. Because one day we're going to have our Nuremberg trials. And all these people are going to be on trial. We're not going anywhere. We're not going to be assimilated. That's why we're struggling against it. Assimilation is probably the worst form of genocide you can imagine. It's been forced to become something like you detest most on earth. It's a form of torture. They should have killed all our people. They should have killed us all. And if you're not going to kill us all, recognise our humanity. And I'm calling on all the conscientious non-Aboriginal people in this country. And there is a lot of them. You've got to stand with us. This situation demeans all of us. Everyone. We know everyone's got spirit in them. Come on, people, stand up. These murdering thieves are weak, black, and spirit. All we need to do is stand up and this bullshit racist penal colony called Australia will fall over because they're gutless. They can't deal with the truth. And that is our weapon, people. The truth in this country is like a weapon of mass destruction because it's built on lies, deceit, fraud, propaganda, and race hatred indoctrination. My message to this G20, whatever the hell they are, don't deal with criminals. Piss off. This is our land and our law. Like Jenny said, we have a law. They made this place lawless when they called it Terra Nullis. They right, our existence.
Unfortunately, we've got to end it there. That was our very own Robbie Thorpe speaking to a crowd that just seems to be standing there just listening to every word. And before him was Jenny Munro, again an amazing speaker. I'm a bit emotional, eh? This is powerful. And tune in later in the afternoon, 5:30 for the Sewer Show, for more cross from the Brisbane Aboriginal Sovereign Embassy at the G20.
You've been listening to a podcast of 3CR's live coverage from the G20 in Brisbane. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. To listen to more podcasts or donate online, go to 3cr.org.au.